Welcome to the Holistic Horse Podcast. My name is Kira Burns. Now, I'm really sorry because this is clearly coming after quite a substantial break, which wasn't really my intention, but life and horses and work and various other things had me hit the overwhelm button on how much I was doing, and so a couple of things had to fall by the wayside, and this was one of those things. But anyway, I am back, and as I'm doing a bunch of recording today, I should be back for the foreseeable future, and certainly I have actually made time in my schedule to continue recording, so these should be a lot more regular and shouldn't have huge 7-month breaks or whatever it's been in between episodes. So apologies for that delay, but anyway, I really appreciate it if you are still here, or if you're someone new, congratulations, you managed to miss that rather large gap. So well done on your timing if that is you. So today is just a really, really quick one, but I thought it would just be a really nice way to start back off, because I was thinking about this moment the other day and thinking about how as riders or as horse people in general, it's so easy to fall into that idea of imposter syndrome. So imposter syndrome is basically that feeling where you not only feel like you don't belong somewhere, but in particular, it's like you feel like you're a bit of a fraud. So it's that feeling of waiting for someone to tap you on the shoulder is how it's most often described. The idea that someone's going to find out that you're not really as good as they think you are, and they're going to realize that at some point. That idea that, you know, maybe you're faking it and maybe you don't really belong there because maybe you're not actually as, you know, smart or confident or talented or whatever it is as people seem to have mistakenly thought that you were. And imposter syndrome is something I find really fascinating anyway, because it's something that when I've looked into it, I've learned that, you know, you would think at some point that it would go away. We have this idea that, you know, oh, if I learn more, if I succeed more, if I accomplish more, that at some point I'll stop having that feeling like I'm an imposter, like I don't deserve to be here. And the thing that I find really fascinating is that when psychologists have done research into imposter syndrome, it is actually the strongest amongst the most accomplished and the most qualified people. So when they do the research, it comes up in basically every demographic that they can find. But the most common place that it comes up is, say, people in PhD programs, people who are highly qualified, people who are obviously, you know, intelligent enough to get into these programs, people who are incredibly successful and high up in the corporate world. Just generally, people who are high up and would outwardly seem successful often have really high levels of imposter syndrome. They are often the most prone to sitting there and feeling like someone is going to tap them on the shoulder and say, actually, they're really not smart enough or accomplished enough or successful enough, or they really don't know what they're talking about enough to be where they are. And it's that feeling of, yeah, waiting for someone to tap you on the shoulder and point that out to you and then kind of quietly ask you to leave. And the reason that this came up was because I was thinking of this really wonderful moment that I had years ago that I want to share. And it's something that I am so endlessly grateful for. And it's something where I think about it, and I think about it a lot when I really think about who I want to be and how I want to be. And, you know, there's a line, Brené Brown uses this line, I'm not sure where she gets it from, but it's the idea of, at the end of the day, at the end of the month, at the end of my life, I want to have contributed more than I've criticized. And so this story for me was the first time that I went to Adelaide, and I was in the 4-star, what is now 5-star, and I'd gotten on to warm up for the cross country. And they had a fall on course. And so they stopped the course, which essentially, if you're in the warm-up, means that you basically stop because you don't know how long they're going to hold the course for. It could be 2 minutes, it could be 20 minutes, it could be an hour, and you don't really know. And so while I was waiting, because I wasn't on Next or anything like that, I certainly could stop. And I can remember I was standing there waiting, and I was sitting on my horse, Fox, and I won't mention any names here just because, you know, that's not my story to tell, but I was watching this rider warming up, and she has been to the World Equestrian Games. She's a phenomenal rider, and she was jumping this arrowhead, so this really narrow cross-country fence that was in the warm-up, and she was jumping it on an angle, like on a crazy angle. So what I mean by that is, you know, not getting straight to the middle of it, but jumping across this thing, making it basically taking something that is already really, really difficult and making it exponentially more difficult. And I remember I was sitting there watching her, and in my head, I was just like, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could angle that arrowhead like that. I don't know if Fox would know to jump it if I did that. Maybe I should be able to do that. Maybe I need to be able to do that. Is there a fence out on course where I actually need to be able to do that? And I'm just such a beginner that I haven't realized that I should actually be jumping one of these arrowheads on an angle, and I've not noticed this, and actually it's something horrible, and, you know, my plan is going to go horribly wrong because I didn't even know I was supposed to do that. And then I was like, well, maybe I should try it. And then I kind of went, no, the warm up for your first 4-star is not the place to try something new, because what if that fails, and what if he runs out and I discover that we actually can't do that, and then I'll destroy what little confidence I have. And then, but then maybe if I need to, then maybe I should practice it, because it's better to practice it now in the warm up than try to do it for the first time out on course. And, but then if I haven't planned to do it out on course, yeah, but then what if it happens out on course? And so anyway, that's basically my thinking. You can imagine this. And it goes on for quite some time because you jump this fence a number of times. And I was just standing there on my own. And little did I know, it must have been showing on my face exactly how I was feeling, because this other rider came up to me. And I have to confess that I didn't know who they were. And you know, I really should have, because they're actually quite well known, but I didn't. I'm really bad with names, and I'm really bad with faces. And if you can't tell by the little insight into my internal dialogue that I just gave you, I was a little bit stressed. So anyway, apologies to this person that at the time I didn't actually know who they were. I do now. But they rode over and they said, "You deserve to be here." And I was still in the middle of this monologue, and so I kind of had to kind of do a double take and look around to realize that they were talking to me. And I said, "Sorry, what?" And they said, "You deserve to be here. You deserve to be here just as much as she does. You have worked just as hard. You have put in just as many hours. You have tried just as hard. You have done just as much. You deserve to be here just as much as they do. You are just as good a rider. You deserve to be here." And I'm nearly crying saying this now, because at the time, I don't think I could necessarily believe them, but it stopped that internal monologue. And I can't even remember whether I answered them, whether I said anything at all. I don't even know that I did, because I know that my brain just stopped. And, you know, they just kind of went on doing their own thing, and the course started again and all of that sort of thing. And I will be honest and say, yeah, I don't think I really truly believed what they were saying. But I was so stopped in my tracks by the fact that they had bothered to come and say that to me. And that they were so kind to come and say that to me. And so even if I didn't believe it, even if it didn't give me that pep talk to make me believe that I deserved to be there, what it did do was it stopped the horrible spiral that I was in, which was going nowhere good. And it stopped my panic. And I ended up just putting, you know, putting angling arrowheads out of my mind and warming up. And, you know, we ended up going clear, which was phenomenal and amazing. And I've done a lot of work since that lets me know that, yes, I did absolutely deserve to be there. But so this is not a pity story, but my point is I'm so in awe of what that person did, because if I'm really honest with myself in that particular situation, I would probably, even if I would wholeheartedly believe it, 100% I would believe that, you know, anyone who gets to that level, anyone who gets to the point where they can even enter that level and show up at that level and walk that course and still get on their horse with the intention of riding it, 100% deserves to be there. Definitely. I'm the first person to say that you 100% do. I 100% believe that wherever you are, you deserve to be there. But I would not necessarily walk up to them, because I would have, ironically, feeling of imposter syndrome, but I would have that feeling of, oh, you know, maybe I shouldn't interrupt them, or who am I to say that, or whatever. And so it's interesting for me, because I still think about this. So that was in 2011. So we're talking 12 years ago, and it would have been 60 to 90 seconds probably out of my life. And I still think about it. And so when I think about who I want to be and how I want to be in this world, I think of that person. And I think of that incredible kindness with something that was so simple, with something that was so easy. And they were incredibly kind, and they chose not only to not criticize, but they chose to show up in support. And I think in a world full of imposter syndrome, and particularly in a industry such as the equestrian industry, full of imposter syndrome, where we have that daily as riders, you know, am I good enough? Do I deserve my horse? I hear it all the time. I hear it from clients. I hear it running through my own head still, you know. I don't know if I deserve my horse. I don't know if I'm good enough for this. I don't know if I'm good enough to go to that lesson. I don't know if I'm good enough to go to that show. I don't know if I have enough experience to, you know, even handle this horse. I don't know if I can, whatever. A, can we show up that way for someone else? Can we recognize that most people are experiencing that? Most people have worries about whether or not they're good enough. And so can we show up in a way that actually encourages rather than criticizes them? And B, can we try and show up that way for ourselves, which isn't always easier. Maybe it's easier if we just show up that way for other people. But hopefully at some point we start to show up that way for ourselves. We start to work on our own imposter syndrome and recognize that imposter syndrome is just a thing that happens. And it's not something where we can achieve our way out of it or educate our way out of it. It's always going to happen. And instead, maybe it's something that we just recognize, and recognize that even though we have those thoughts, that they're not necessarily true. Because we have this horrible tendency to believe whatever we think. And the truth is that what we think isn't necessarily true. It's an idea that we picked up from somewhere. It's something that has served the human race on an evolutionary level. And so it's a remnant of that. It's whatever else, but it doesn't necessarily make it true. And even if, you know, even if you want to come up with all the arguments why it is true, it doesn't certainly make it helpful. So that's my challenge to you, is can you see that in other people and recognize their worthiness to be wherever it is that they are? And even more of a struggle, can you see that in yourself? And certainly if you can't see it in yourself immediately, can you at least question? Can you recognize that imposter syndrome when it comes up? And can you at least question it? Can you at least stick a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of doubt into that certainty that says, I'm not good enough, or I don't deserve to be here, or whatever it is. But just sticking that little tiny bit of doubt. And if you do it for someone else, even if it doesn't seem like a thing, even if they just stand there and stare at you, as I probably did to that person that particular day, even if they don't say thank you, even if they don't seem to even understand the very simple English words that you were using at the time, I promise you that if you do that for someone else, they will remember it, and that it will have an effect on them, and it will have a positive effect on them. And obviously I'm saying this, you know, you have to actually mean it, and it actually has to be true when you say it. You're not just saying it for the sake of it, but it will have a difference whether they can acknowledge it in that moment. But hopefully it will be as it was for me, where 12 years later, I'm still thinking about that moment and about that person's kindness, and that what they did didn't just change my ride that day, but it changed how I want to show up in the world and how I want to be for someone else. So thank you for listening. I hope this was helpful. I hope it was interesting to you. I hope that you will challenge your own inner imposter, and maybe that you'll even get out there and challenge someone else's. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to keep up with anything that I'm doing or my other work, I am at Synergy and Freedom on Facebook and Instagram.